Hey, this is Andrew Hyatt, and you're listening to Music's Journey podcast with my friend Kim Sear.
On some highway past some small town somewhere, cutting through the middle of the night, there's a girl in a car with a crack in her heart and a one-way tear in her eye. Couldn't fake it or take it anymore. She finally gave up trying to save him. Now she's moving on, rolling on the same day.
Heard a snippet of the title track Four Good Years by CCMA award-nominated country artist Andrew Hyatt. Here to talk about his brand new EP, Four Good Years, is CCMA award-nominated country artist Andrew Hyatt. Congratulations on this EP, one of my absolute favorites of the season.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Talk about the pandemic and everything that's gone on with that and how it kind of related to the silver lining for this album for you.
Yes. I mean, you know, going into COVID, I was waiting on a surgery for my voice and some reflux issues that were affecting my voice as well. So, you know, during COVID, it was, you know, isolating and it felt a little strange. I'm up in Sudbury, so I'm pretty far from my community of artists and fellow musicians that I see all the time. Mm-hmm. But what it did do is it gave me time to focus on, number one, getting what I needed to get done, and then going through the steps of just rebuilding both my voice and my brain, because I was so anxious about singing and had become just this thing that every time I thought about it, it stressed me out. I would get a tight throat. I would get, you know, a tight chest, and mm-hmm. it had become something that was hard for me. And so it was nice to be able to lock myself in my basement with a microphone and a recording system and, you know, start tracking the record by myself and work through it. If I was having, I wasn't on anybody's clock, there was no time limits. So that was really nice. You know, we weren't paying a studio and an engineer by the hour. I kind of had some training in that, and I had, you know, my producer kind of walk me through a few things, and I took my time to do it. And, you know, by the time we recorded the last vocal, which was still something, it was the last vocal that I tracked, mm-hmm. you know, I felt like I had kind of been reborn a little bit as a singer. So it was good in a lot of ways for me.
Yeah, we're going to get into some of the songs because some of them are pretty challenging too, especially going through what you were going through. And yeah, so big changes for you. But man, I'm telling you, this is, I think, by far your best work.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, we feel that way too. You know, my whole team, it's, you know, obviously Canadian radio has kind of put a limit on how many Canadian artists they'll play at one time. For new material, so that's always a dogfight, and that can be discouraging, you know, mm-hmm. when you feel like you put great music out, and then you've got to go out against your friends and kind of compete for space. But as far as a piece of art is concerned, I'm super proud of it, and yeah, I feel like we did the best that we've done so far, and we continue to grow and learn and make music that feels really good to play live, and that's the most important thing for me.
And pretty daunting too when you're not going into the studio and having to sing and record your records in the basement like that, because that's something completely new for you.
Yeah. Blessing and a curse. There was days where, you know, I'd get so fed up with, you know, you don't have somebody else there to kind of bounce ideas off of, or bounce, you know, what am I doing wrong? Why doesn't this sound the way I want it to sound? Or you know, or you're doing something and you go back and listen and you know, had somebody have been there to say, hey, why don't we try this? It would have taken a little less time to get there. But I, again, you know, blessing in disguise, I learned the ins and outs of my voice, and you really get to look at it under a microscope, which can be very painful, you know, to see all your flaws glaring you in the face. But then, you know, once you know what they are, you're able to change them. So, two years at home, sure, I would have way rather been on the road, and playing shows and continuing. You know, I would have loved to have been able to support Neverland because that was a record that, you know, I loved. But, you know, it did what it did for me, and we grew, and now we're back, and there's shows coming out, and it's great. So.
And your voice is back too, which, you know, lots of silver lining there.
Yeah, I feel really blessed for that because there's a lot of, I know personally three or four singers who have had issues with their voice, and it doesn't always, it's not always a silver lining at the end of the day. People don't always get it back, or it doesn't come back the way that you wanted it to. So
exactly.
I've been really, really fortunate.
I'm so happy for you. I was really worried about that, and it was really nice to see that turn the corner for you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Let's talk about you've got eight songs on this one. Now, the last, or the lead track, actually, I think it was the one that almost didn't make the EP, right?
Close to You, yeah. So that song was the last song that we decided to record, that we had yet to record. It's kind of weird. We had already recorded Still Something, and then we recut the vocal at the last minute just because I had cut it 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But as a song to be included on the record, it was just kind of a last minute thing where I heard the song and I was like, I really like this song, let's give it a go. We needed to record it, and then we sent it over to Dallas and the rest of the team, and Dallas kind of came back and said, hey man, like, we had another single lined up actually and kind of had everything in place for it, and he said, I think we should go with this one, and everybody listened, and you know, we're kind of at radio with it right now, so we'll see what radio thinks of it. But that's you know, the goal is to always create something you love and then don't let other people determine the value of it, be it radio or whatever. I'm always appreciative when I get play, but if you look at it that way, you'll lose your mind. So,
oh, exactly.
You know, I'm super proud of that song, and I love playing it live. So
talk to us about the writing for Close to You.
Yeah, so it was actually sent over from Josh Dorr. It was written by Baker Grissom, Josh Dorr, and Nathan Spicer. And when that came through, they had sent it to my producer, and then he sent it to me. And there was just something melodically about it that I couldn't get away from.
Mm-hmm.
I love that in the chorus, you know, the tag, it goes up instead of down. And there's something about that guitar part. And even the way Josh had sung it on the demo, it just felt kind of like this old school Keith Urban vibe to me.
Exactly.
And I loved it. I was like, man, these melodies, it just felt really refreshing to me. So I was like, I'm going to cut this. It's going to be great. And, you know, I don't always love cutting a lot of outside songs, but on this record, there was so many good songs sent over from, we had so long to just kind of like sort through pitches, right? And then write and do all this stuff. And it was just kind of got to this point where I was like, best songs gotta win, and this was one of those songs.
Time I heard your name, my heart was breaking.
That was the lead single Close to You off the brand new EP Four Good Years by country star Andrew Hyatt. Every single song on this entire EP is a hit to me, as I said to you just a moment ago. And I love it when I fall in love with every single track on an EP, and this is one of them.
Yeah. I mean, that has kind of been the goal for this when we created. You know, we wanted to make sure that we had not only a collection of songs that we loved, but a collection of songs that each one could kind of stand on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had some, you know, some depth to the record.
Well, you definitely have that. Talk to us about the incredible songs on the EP, like your favorite one on this one that's special to you.
I mean, I feel like every song on this record kind of has a story of how it became a song that we cut for the record. You know, Four Good Years, it was sort of the first song that we said, this is going to set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're going to chase. This is our bar. And then everything else has to be better or equal to it. And, you know, I loved what the lyrical flip in that song where it says, you know, in the first verse, you're talking about, you know, time. And then the second verse, it's talking about physical tires on a car. And then the hook is Four Good Years. So it just ties in. It's just such a cool flip that I hadn't heard before,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as a title, Four Good Years, be it tires or time, was just that was such a unique thing. And then, you know, Still Something, we cut that, you know, 3 years ago, and we actually released it for about 12 hours. And then it became this sort of debacle with Kid Rock's camp.
Oh, that's right.
They had decided that they wanted to cut the song as well because that had been pitched to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we had already, you know, spent thousands of dollars and kind of gone through our, you know, we had the art and we put it out. And then anyway, it got pulled down out of respect for the writers and just, you know, if he was going to use it as a single,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, obviously he's a global star. So we want the guys that we know and who are sending songs that are great songs from time to time, I'll maintain those relationships. So I'm thrilled that song had a chance to see the light of day, and Kid Rock's version is out as well. And I do strongly feel like we did the song, you know, more justice than he did. He kind of put his own twist on it, which is great. And it's cool. And it's its own thing, but our version rocks a little harder. So
yeah, yours is pretty special. And we're going to let everybody hear that one right now. Here is the title track, Four Good Years by country artist Andrew Hyatt here on Music's Journey.
Some highway past some small town somewhere, cutting through the middle of the night. There's a girl in a car with a crack in her heart and a one-way tear in her eye. Couldn't fake it or take it anymore. She finally gave up trying to save him. Now she's moving on, rolling on the same damn thing she gave him. Cause she gave him four good years. Chevrolet coupe that she got from her dad. Yeah, he always made sure they were safe and they weren't losing air with a spare in the back. And he prayed that this day never come, but if it did, his little girl be running on four good years. 3 a.m. too late and gone, and girl that ain't looking back again. Windows down, heartbreak's on, burning up the black top. Change those tires, but she can't replace. She could, everything she could, and now
now she's doing what she's gotta do.
That was the title track, Four Good Years, by country star Andrew Hyatt, off his new EP released earlier this month. It has been climbing the charts ever since its release. This song really hit home for me. I love this song. And you always have incredible instincts when it comes to picking songs that have master lyrics in them and the music that you put behind them. But at the same time, just your ability to be able to connect with the fans and just the songs that you're choosing, the songs that you write. People really feel it because, you know, it's everyday life. It's real, real life. And I really gravitated to this one because you, with your vocal surgery a few years ago, and then working, you know, towards what you're doing now, what you were nervous about recording this one at home. I related to this one too, with everything I've gone through too. So yeah, it really hit home for me.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's, you know, that's something that we strive for again, is just, if I hear a song that I haven't written and I don't feel a connection to it, if it doesn't put me in a time and a place, mm-hmm. then I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to cut it. And, you know, I've actually passed on a couple songs in the past that I've been cut by other artists that went to number one. So it's like, you know, for better or worse, my stubbornness is, it is what it is. And that's just part of me, you know, true to who you think you are as an artist, be it for better or worse.
Well, I think every artist can say that there's songs that come their way that end up going number one with other people that they have turned, you know, that song down. You know, Michelle Wright talks about that all the time, and like so many of the other artists. And, you know, it's just got to feel right in the moment. If you're not feeling it, you're not going to deliver it, right? Because you got to believe in the lyrics. Yeah,
exactly. You kind of got to be in the right state of mind for that. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, fans have fallen in love with your music because, as I said, they can relate to it because it's a working class songs and topics that people can really relate to. Was there an artist that touched you like that in your life?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up kind of in this like weird, not weird, but just listening to a lot of like everything from like punk rock stuff to like Christian rock. Mm-hmm. I was pretty heavily involved in church growing up, and There were tons of bands along the way. There were bands like a band called Delirious that, you know, they did some great stuff, and just it was very transparent lyrically, and you could hear where their mind was at and what their struggles were. And then there, you know, so many bands like more recently I listened to a lot of Donovan Woods. I feel like he has this knack of making you hurt when you're listening to music, and I think that's really special.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you listen to the kind of the B-side records that I've put out in the past of the stripped down stuff, or it kind of falls in that vein. That's the kind of stuff that I'm writing when I'm like sad, alone, mm-hmm. and really need to just, you know, get something off my chest. So yeah, I would say in the last 5-6 years, I would say Donovan Woods has probably been my, like, the artist who has, you know, kind of walked me through those moments of my life and has inspired me a lot.
Yeah, those are the ones that really touch your heart, right? And
that's
the ones that, you know, bring you to that vulnerability that you need to be able to write these great songs that you write. What is the best story that you've ever heard from a fan on one of the songs off this new EP so far?
Off this one in particular, you know, it's this new one's only been out for a short period of time, so I feel like there hasn't really been too much feedback because we haven't been out playing it. I'm literally gearing up for the first time this weekend, other than the release show, to go out and start playing it at festivals. So,
oh, it's got to feel good. Oh boy.
Yeah, we haven't seen too much on this record, but you know, in the past, I've got songs like High Tide and She Ain't You, and songs like those songs tend to be the songs that I get a lot of stories from.
Talk about High Tide so for a second. What have you heard for stories for people from that one? Because that one could relate to so many different, you know, topics in that one, but you know, that people can connect their stories to, but that is such a special song.
Yeah, I mean, that was written from a place of real vulnerability. You know, that was mid-pandemic, you know, end of January. There were issues with royalties not coming in because of the strike in the U.S., the mail strike in the U.S., and, you know, you're 3 months out from your last paycheck, and, you know, you're expecting the next quarterly check, and that doesn't show up, and you have no idea when music's coming back. And I was kind of drowning at that point and hit a low point, and you know, I've said to myself, well, you know, I've been in this position before and I've always made it through. And so that was kind of that, where that line came from, where, you know, it's high tide and I'll be all right, because you know, you feel like you're drowning, but you do okay. And that song, I've had messages, everything from, you know, really personal stuff about mental health issues and, battling your, you know, suicidal thoughts and, you know, even to the point of, you know, hearing people say, like, I was, this song saved my life, you know, which is always a huge, you never want to have somebody in that position, but to hear somebody tell you that a song is what's gotten through, that always feels amazing, to know that something you created is helping other people. And, yeah, so
it's kind of cool when you're looking at it, you know, from this point of view, you know, when a song like that can create so much healing worldwide and going through such difficult issues during that time. And just the same as you were facing, like so many people were connecting their personal stories and such a vast variety of different kinds of stories. But when you look at it and think about, you know, a child that listened to their parent play that song over and over again, and as they get older and then they remember the next generation, like, this is the song my parents listened to, or my dad or my mom listened to, or my brother or my sister listened to, and that's going to last a long time. And it's pretty special when you look at it that way, to how far this one song can reach.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always mind blown when I see, you know, a song not only succeed in the sphere that, you know, my radio or more, you know, the singles do well in, but then when you see it kind of, even watching what's happened with the song on a bit of a global scale, as far as, you know, I'm always tracking where songs are in charts, and we've seen, you know, we've seen Belize, we've seen Australia, we've seen, you know,
the UK too,
like Italy and all these places, where I'm going like, holy man, like, this is crazy that this song is, you know, even if it's in the top 50 for songs in those places, it's mind-blowing to me, you know, to be like, I'm a guy from Sudbury, Ontario, who 10 years ago worked in a mine, you know, like, it just, it's crazy. So,
oh, I'm telling you, it's such a great song. We're going to play that very special song right now, and this is High Tide by Andrew Hyatt here on Music's Journey.
I borrowed money to pay all my bills. Broke like my mind, that's why I'm taking pills. Swallowed by thoughts, I won't keep my mind still. Proof I need help in the valleys and the hills. When it's high tide, when it's high tide, I'll be alright. Don't be surprised when I cancel my plans. I'm double booked with the voice in my head. He's the calm on the sea, he's the rage in the swell. A raft or an anchor, he's heaven or hell. When it's high tide,
when it's high tide. I'll be alright.
That was High Tide by country artist Andrew Hyatt. What a moving song, and putting the spotlight on so many different issues that fans have been able to attach to this song. So pretty, pretty special. That's got to make you feel pretty damn good.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it's a song that's been written, that was written for me. It wasn't, you know, I didn't write that for anybody else. That was like one that I needed to create for myself to kind of let something out, you know? So,
And that's cool when you're looking back and saying, you know what, so many people are afraid to get that vulnerable. And it kind of, you know, the pandemic's kind of pushed us all in that direction to face, you know, maybe it might be like our only identity is, you know, for artists that are just facing, what am I without music, or what am I without all of these, you know, different things that I've pictured myself doing, and only that. People have had to face an awful lot during this journey, and your voice would be one of them. That would be a tough one for you.
Yeah, it definitely, I would say the pandemic definitely put myself included in that, what am I, you know, without, what am I without music, you know, and who am I without music? And that was a big question for me. So,
yeah. Well, we are so glad that voice is just killing it right now, and you proved it in some of these songs. You've got to really feel vindicated, you know, to see, okay, you know what, I can do this. And one of those songs is Still Something.
Yeah, that one, there's a glaring difference for me, because, you know, as I kind of said previously, that we had recorded that song a few years prior, and then it just didn't, it got released momentarily and then was taken back, and you know, we were like, oh, we're going to put this as a bonus track. We're going to put it out, because we were waiting on the Kid Rock version to be put out before we put our version out. And, you know, when we got the green light to release it, we didn't actually know when we were going to be able to release it. I was like, well, there's a pre-surgery version of that and a post-surgery version of that song. And the difference to me was just, it was very vindicating to be like, yeah, I just crushed this in a way that I never thought I could again. So it felt great.
It's going to be the party anthem in the stadiums, I'm telling you. Wherever you're going to be playing this one, fans are going to be on their feet. And we're going to play that one right now. So here is the party anthem song, Still Something, by country artist Andrew Hyatt, here on Music's Journey.
Took me down to the Paradise City in my dreams.
That is the party anthem that you guys are going to be hearing all summer long when you're going to be seeing Andrew Hyatt playing live. And that is Still Something by CCMA award-nominated country artist Andrew Hyatt. You nailed this song. You didn't just vindicate it. You nailed it. It is such a good song for you.
Thanks. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, it just goes to show you what hard work does, right?
Yeah. You know, you just got to keep your head down and keep going, even when it feels like you're getting nowhere. And eventually, you know, there's always light right at the end of the tunnel. So
it's amazing what people see if they just, you know, if they just chill and realize we might not be able to see what's going on in life or what the reasons are, what we're going through at the moment. But if we just see what's on the other side of it, you'd all relax and know that everything's going to be okay. And you've definitely done that with this EP.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let's talk about Don't Nothing Change.
Yeah, so that was kind of the lead release, I think, off this record. We had put that out right after Neverland had kind of wrapped up at radio. And yeah, it that was a great song. Cool song. Just really fun to sing that song, right? It just felt some big soaring melodies, you know, and that second verse kicks in. The only thing I could think of when we heard the first recording of that song, or when we finished it, was how well that would translate to live.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great that it's there, and it's you know, very fun to sing, and just a feel good song, right?
Well, and that's what we all need right now going into this. And you heading out on the road, this is going to be pretty special. You've got something for everybody on this album. And we're going to play this one right now, and this is Don't Nothing Change by country artist Andrew Hyatt here on Music's Journey. That was Don't Nothing Change by country artist Andrew Hyatt off his brand new EP, Four Good Years, that is out right now. Don't forget you can download Four Good Years or any of the songs that you're hearing that you absolutely love off this EP on all your streaming platforms. You can share it on all your playlists, and you can also request it, any of the songs, at your local country radio station. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, there's just something so special about this EP. And I don't know, I was listening to it and listening to it and listening to it the other night. And that says something for me. When I'm listening to it from front to back like that and love every single track, it's really, really good.
Oh, that's so encouraging to hear. Yeah, it's just that was kind of the approach with this was, let's take all songs that, you know, can stand on their own. And again, I just felt like we didn't kind of just pick one vein, right? There's everything from stuff like Marlboro Man that feels very, mm-hmm. you know, a little more in the vein of like old school country and just kind of really cred country.
Steel in a heart of stone, leather tough to the bone, and always gone, born to run to anywhere but where I was. I'd leave it all. Talking about the end of time. Man in
suit, got a meeting at 12. Woman on the corner, got love for sale. Everybody looking for something or something else. So come on, baby, won't you say, be my runaway, go until the wheels run out of road. 'Cause life ain't feeling good in the neighborhood, but I know somewhere we can go. That the good is gone, but there's just enough hope for us to hang our hearts on. A couple believe it's gonna take a shot. Eden's still a place, just paradise lost. There's gotta be a corner of it somewhere that the world forgot. So come on, baby, won't you say, be my runaway, go until the wheels run out of road. 'Cause life ain't feeling good in the neighborhood, but I know somewhere
I think we're going to be covering pretty much almost all of them on this this airing for you, because I just think it's just that good. It's just so special.
Well, thank you.
Now, let's talk about you getting on the road and all these shows that you got coming up. Can you share any?
Yeah, so actually this week I'm headed out to, actually just spent the day working on the tour van and just trying to get that all ready to go. Pre-pandemic, I bought this massive Sprinter, Mercedes Sprinter, for touring, and then right before everything shut down. So this is actually one of the first shows I'm taking it out on, which I'm excited to have it on the road. But you know, as it is, 2 years after, my AC fan died in it at the last like a week ago. So I was like, okay, I gotta get that fixed out there. So
especially,
it's all good.
Especially the weather we're having, you need that going.
I know. I was like, of course this is happening right now. But I'm heading out to St. George in Quebec this week with Brett Kissel, so that'll be great. And then, you know, we've got a few major festivals as well. We're doing Big Valley Jamboree, we're doing Country Thunder out in Saskatchewan, and then we're doing Boots and Hearts here in Ontario. So those will all be just a blast to play.
Massive
festivals are always fun, and then there's a bunch of other stuff too, right? Where, you know, there's a few that we're still kind of signing on the dotted line or waiting for contracts to come back on, but there's a lot of festivals that we're going to be out on. You know, at one point, you know, 4 months ago, there was a lot of carryover as well from 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So there was all of that, and I was looking at it going, okay, well, I'm getting married this summer. I've got to finish the renovation on the upstairs of my house. Plus these shows, it's going to be busy, and those shows have almost like doubled since then. So I'm a little bit in panic mode, but that's okay. That's okay. It's all good.
Well, you know, you're going to be happy when you get out there and you start playing, and that's going to be, you know, that's going to be something special, especially after all you've been through, and being able just to get out there and sing. Yeah, that's just something that, you know what, you got to take that all in and live in the moment. I'm telling you, just take that time to take a look at that audience and be so incredibly grateful, you know, with the music you got for this new EP and being able to go out there and deliver it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, are you going to be taking your camera?
Yeah, that has been something that goes with me everywhere I go the last couple of years. It seems to be, especially when COVID, you know, took over, I felt like I needed a creative outlet that had no bearing on my career or, you know, income. So I've always loved photography and video, and that has always been something that I'm passionate about. But I just, with the downtime, I really started dialing in on that end of things, and I've kind of gone headfirst into film stuff. So
so cool.
Yeah, there's something really special to me about the delayed gratification of taking a photo or 30, you know, some photos depending on how well your camera worked or the rolls turn out, you know, in theory 36 exposures, but and then waiting, you know, sometimes to burn through a roll you're waiting a month or more, because at a dollar something a photo, you're not just taking 1,000 photos a day, right? You're waiting for those special moments and then looking back and going, oh yeah, like I remember this. And you know, you might only get 2 or 3 special shots per roll, but when you get them, there's just something so gratifying to that, and the fact that it's tangible, and there's something that film does with light that you cannot get in digital. It just doesn't exist.
True. So it's so
it's,
true.
It's great. Yeah.
Do you have a film illumination camera?
Yeah. So I'm just shooting a 35mm, like a 35mm camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's great. And
I miss film because I'm a photographer. I'm a professional photographer. So it's just something that is really special to me. And that's what I do on my downtime. That's my calm, is going out there and taking pictures. But just the textures and the warmth of film in comparison to what, you know, the digital cameras can do is just not the same thing. Film's really special.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, I had purchased, I guess in 2017, I had bought a camera called a Fuji X100F, which Fujifilm,
nice camera.
Fuji's like, they're notorious for being as close to film simulation as you can get, as close to film as you can get while still remaining digital. And I still found myself constantly, you know, just wanting it to be closer and closer. So eventually one of my good friends and videographer, we've done some video work together, and he shot a few music videos of mine as well, and you know, he came up through the ranks in our camp shooting all of our live stuff, and he was like, man, I think you just need to buy a film camera. And as soon as I did that, it was like a switch went off in my head,
like night and day.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, this is exactly what I've been chasing. And there was another gentleman by the name of Nick Swift who
shot I know
all,
him
all of the,
yeah, he's so good. Yeah,
oh, he's amazing. Yeah. And I went down to Nashville and had him shoot a bunch of work for us, or for, you know, the Neverland record, all the promo stuff, and that was all shot on film.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was all those, like, real kind of like the big coat country in the field kind of thing that was shot. Those were all Portra 400.
Oh, wow.
Shot, pushed one stop, and then shot at sunset. And it was just, when I got those back, that was like a moment where I was like, yeah, you cannot. I have amazing photographer friends who, you know, they've been published in every major, you know, magazine, and you know, these crazy billboards in Times Square and all this stuff, and they're amazing at digital, but there's something about film that draws me to it. So
yeah, that's I totally hear you, and I can feel that one for sure. Are you going to do some of your own visual components? Are you going to venture out to do that?
I've mixed in a few already. So the cover of High Tide was actually shot on film. That was Lomo 800, and that was shot on a road trip to the East Coast that I took
Boots
last year. I drove out there with the van, and I slept in it for, I think I was gone 8 days, and just kind of like camped in everything from Walmart parking lots to abandoned farms, and just shot a bunch of film and really enjoyed myself out there with a couple of other photographer friends. And yeah, when it came time, I was like, I think I have a photo for this, and that worked out. And I'm already planning for the next record, because, you know, this is done now. We've started diving into the next batch of songs, and I've already kind of come up with a concept, and I'm getting ready to shoot that, and I've got to change some gear over just to get exactly what I want, but always, you know, as is with gear, it's always a hunt for the perfect setup. So
trust me, I know. I've got a ton of it, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait to see what you do. I really can't wait.
Yeah, well, hopefully that, you know, hopefully the Four Good Years record, we have at least two or three singles go off of it, so everyone has to wait a little longer if everything goes well, but we'll see.
This is so good. It is just such a great EP. You should be so proud of it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Really, really proud of it. And we've got a couple questions just, you know, to wrap this up for you. Any favorite tattoos that you have? And do you have any new ones?
I haven't done anything in a couple of years, actually. But we are about to run a promo for this EP that actually we have an artist out of Toronto. It's the first time I've worked with a separate artist, just because my guy is in the middle of transitioning from shop to his own shop.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got someone working up some like traditional art based on Marlboro Man.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, that'll be probably a big leg piece for me. But yeah, I mean, I've got a horse's head on my bicep that, you know, I love that. It was modeled after this porcelain kind of statue of a horse head that my grandmother had before she passed, and it was always something that I was fascinated with as a kid in the house. And then, you know, I've got both of my grandmother's names tattooed on me, so I love those.
Oh,
I've got,
nice.
A tribute to the very first tattoo I ever got was a tribute to a friend, one of my closest friends growing up, who unfortunately, you know, he succumbed to his depression and his mental illness. So I've got that tattooed on my bicep. So there's stories behind all of them. And, you know, when I got free and clear of my first record deal / lawsuit, I tattooed a lucky rabbit's foot on me. So I've got all kinds of things.
Oh, that's cool. That's really, really cool. So your whole life's journey on there.
Yeah, it's kind of a roadmap of where I've been.
Nice. That's really cool. Okay, another question we have for you. Your favorite Donovan Wood song was...
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. That's a tough one because I think it depends on the day. But I remember hearing Leaving Nashville was a big one for me.
Oh, that's a good one.
Great song. I actually heard, I had heard the Charles Kelly version first, and I didn't realize that it was a Donovan Wood song. And then going back and listening to his version, I fell in love with that song because it, you know, it was that time where I was driving back and forth to Nashville pretty consistently trying to write. Mm. And, you know,
Charles Kelly really
lows,
likes
right?
him.
It really encapsulates the highs and lows. And then I also love Your Daughter John. It's a great song as well.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I really like that.
Donovan Woods is a favorite for a lot of artists. And, man, really great stuff, I'm telling you. Great songs.
Yeah, he's definitely just a master at what he does, right? He's a master craftsman when it comes to songs. And, you know, he's had a hand in a ton of Canadian country stuff as well, right? Mm-hmm. And country stuff in general. He's written so many songs and that you wouldn't even know. So
very cool. Okay, so last question or two questions, sorry, one more. What's your idea of success today? When you started out and what you thought success was then and what you think it is today?
Yeah, I think if you would have asked me on the day I signed my first record deal, what success looked like, it would have a lot to do with the dollar amount in my bank account and, mm-hmm. And you know, how many people knew the songs that I'd done and, you know, I guess, you know, the standard fame and fortune kind of thing. And it wasn't why I was playing that would be how I rated my success, my level of success. But now I feel like in the last few years, just having done this, you know, I'm in year 9 since my first deal. And they say it's kind of a 10-year journey. So just hoping this is the record that blows up. But I think I've learned to define success as being proud of what you create.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's hard, especially with art, because you create this thing and then you hand it off to the world to tell you its value. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to, you know, be able to create something, assess it, give it its value for me, and say, yeah, I'm proud of this, and that's valuable. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what else happens, because the reason I started playing music as like a 11-year-old kid with 3 strings on a guitar that was beat up that my grandmother had given me, you know, mm-hmm. learning to play chords and write songs, I was doing that because I needed to, because I wanted to express something. And I feel like I've kind of come full circle in that. Now I create for myself first and foremost. So.
Very special. Very special. It takes a long time, you know, to remember to do what you love and remember to do it because you love it. And
yeah. It's funny. I had a conversation with a good friend today, actually, who's out on a big tour right now. And she was kind of feeling that vibe. Mm. And I said, hey, like, you're not. She said, well, I don't know if I belong here. You know, I'm very different than everything else that's going on. And I said, well, that's the point, you know.
Yeah.
The point is you are different. It's not that you're the same. It's that you're different. And that's what makes it good.
So, yeah, because when you compare yourself to other artists, it's just that's where you lose focus, right? And just remembering exactly who you are and being comfortable in your own skin and what you do. And that's the whole beauty of it all.
100%, and I do feel like comparison is definitely the thief of joy. So
it is. Oh, is it ever? Yeah.
You know, if you can just create what you're proud of in life, and then go from there, that's half the battle. So.
Very cool. Okay, so one last question: if you can travel anywhere in the world and you can perform on any stage, doesn't matter big or small, what would be the one stage that you'd want to hit?
That's a tough one. I feel like Red Rocks would be bucket list for me.
Very nice.
And, you know, even closer to home, playing Massey Hall is like a big one for me.
I love Massey Hall. The acoustics in there are just crazy. They're good. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Massey Hall to me is, you know, it's our Canadian Ryman a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just feels like that's holy ground for songwriters and artists in Canada. So, you know, maybe one day we'll see.
I look forward to seeing you live on that one.
Well, I appreciate that.
Congratulations on the nominations for CCMA. You're looking forward to that, I bet.
Yeah, big time. Big time. So,
congratulations on this EP, and congratulations on being able to get out there and start playing some live music. And we really appreciate every time that I get a chance to be able to talk to you, because you are one of my all-time favorite Canadian artists out there right now.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to have a conversation with me. So thank you so much.
All right. We love this album, and you just kill it out there, okay?
Thank you. All right. We'll chat soon.
Okay. Hopefully we'll see you right out there and I can do a live interview. That would be even better.
That would work well. All right. Take care.
Okay. Take care. All right. Okay, bye.
You've been my Friday night girl. A few Fridays in a row, and here we are again, yeah, I guess we're on a roll. I've been holding out a little, been trying to take it slow, hope it don't run you off, I think you ought to know. I can be your long-haired hippie type, lose my razor sometimes, known to let them fall, let us fly. Forget to check my phone. I've never been one for long walks on the beach, more into floating on a boat.
and dangling my feet.
I can be your long-haired hippie type, lose my razor sometimes, stone to let them fall, let us fly. I can be your glass half full or an empty pack of matches, Sunday morning sunglasses after Saturday. You might wanna stick around if you don't mind a long-haired hippie type. Lose my razor sometimes, known to let them fall, let us fly. Life's too short for nights this long. That clock on the wall ain't moved an inch since you've been gone. Swear that it don't tick. I'm tired of sitting here counting ceiling fan spins, tired of reruns on TV. If I ain't gonna sleep, why the hell lay down? If I'm gonna be up, might as well be out. 'Cause life's too short for nights this long, and the bar's too close to just stay home. The beer's too cheap not to buy a bucket. It's too much to do tonight, do nothing. Got too many friends waiting there on me, too many fishes in the neon sea. Yeah, it's too bad that you're too gone. Life's too short for nights this long. Nights this long. I could pace this floor 1,000 more times, climb that wall, yeah, I could try what I've been trying since you left, but it ain't working yet. Why let this thing drag on? 'Cause life's too short for nights this long, and the just stay home. The beer's too cheap not to buy a bucket. It's too much to do tonight, do nothing. Got too many friends waiting there on me, too many fishes in the neon sea. Yeah, it's too bad that you're too gone. Life's too short for nights this long.
Great big thank you to my very special guest, CCMA award-nominated country artist Andrew Hyatt, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'll be interviewing Tegan Gaze, Katie Hurt, Haley Benedict, Haley Jensen, Dustin Collins, Allie Walker, Emma Peterson, Katie Topham, country artist Cadence from Runaway Angel, Emerson Drive, Jade Eagleson, The East Pointers, Josh Bogert, Rob Fitzgerald, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, the new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.